You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
On with the one and only, the legend himself, the highlight, Justin Gaethje. Justin, bro, first off, I told you before we were recording, you're a dog, you're a warrior. You went out there and fought Max in one of the best fights that we've seen, and I don't even know how long, fight of the year, in my opinion. How do you feel off of that 300, the totality of it, right? The lead up, the camp, the walkout, the fight, the knockout. Can you put into perspective for us?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it all goes by so fast, man. I mean, you start training camp 12 weeks out, you know, you work your ass off, you know, two or three times a day, two or three workouts, you know, everything's kind of super regimented. So, you know, you really just show up and, you know, follow instructions. You know, I'm super coachable. So everything went by really fast. And then, you know, once fight week comes, that Tuesday starts, it really flies by. And then you got the press conference. Then you move on to the weigh-ins, you know, all the interviews. I did probably, you know, 80 interviews. So all that shit, just, you know, just the busier you are, you know, the faster time goes, as you guys know. And so before you know it, you know, the fight's there. And then, you know, flies by again, then the fight's over. And then it's just crazy how, you know, it's really, really hard to take in everything, you know, in the moment, you know, because everything's just flying by. You're kind of on autopilot during all the media events. You know, you're on autopilot during the weight cut because you don't want to think about that because that shit hurts.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you move on to the fight and just try to be perfect for, you know, for a very, very small period of time, you know, in the grand scheme of things. And, you know, competition is crazy. I'm super competitive. You know, I don't have... There was never a second in there. I wasn't, you know, excited to be in there. And it's a momentum thing. You know, I caught that kick at the end of the first round, you know, broke my nose. And, you know, momentum's a hell of a thing to try to get back, you know, once you lose it. And, you know, I think Max did such a good job at, you know, gaining that momentum and then keeping that, you know, through the fight. Again, it's such a short, you know, short period in time, you know, and 25 minutes, and I just couldn't get it back, you know. And he was really good. He was surprised me in a couple areas, you know, how patient he was. I thought mm-hmm. I was going to be able to pull him into more of a fight, and his patience really, really threw things off of me. And, you know, all credit to him for executing like that.
It was incredible to see, man, because obviously moving up a division, you were talking with Kamaru, obviously a great friend of yours, training partner, on his pod with Triple C, that you were like, I hope that he's a little bit slower, right? The move up, maybe he's a little bit slower. Did you see him a little bit slower? Did you feel like you could have attacked things in a certain way that he just maybe cut off a little bit quicker?
Yeah, his movement was very, very good, man. And something I wasn't expecting. I think, you know, he was definitely not slow. He was really fast. And yeah, I mean, again, it was just, you know, me expecting something and getting something completely different was, you know, such a testament to his, you know, his game plan. You know, it was awesome. And, yeah, you know, I waiting outside and, you know, trying to catch him coming in was kind of, you know, what I thought was going to be going on more in my mind. And he really sat back and, you know, didn't get pulled into anything. You know, he was really fast on his exits, and he was very fast when he closed the distance to those strikes.
And you were chopping that leg too, dude. Like he said it. He said he's going to be like a couple of weeks before I can even walk normally. You were chopping that front leg to try and get him to switch stances, right?
Switch stances, change tactics. I think in the fourth round, you know, after the third round, my coach, you know, we have a couple. We all have different styles of fighting that we fight. You know, in training, we train different styles. You know, there's a patient side for me, and then there's a spot where I move forward and I really try to step on their feet and cause exchanges. And I think once we switch to that, you know, I've started, you know, finding more success. Just it was just again a testament to his game plan, because something that none of us were ready for, and it was good, damn good.
Yeah. When you replay that first round, have you seen the fight in its totality?
No,
yet?
I haven't watched it. No.
Okay. I was gonna say, can you run us through at least what you remember from that first round? Because I feel like things change after that kick, right? The kick to the nose at the end of the first round.
Even before that, he landed a good uppercut, you know, and you know, gave me a little buzz, and you know, just how fast he closed the distance from A to B was very impressive. So I was like, oh shit, you know, it's something I gotta watch out for. Something I gotta be ready for.
When he landed that kick, it was like, did you sit in the corner and be like, that was clean as hell?
I mean, we're talking about 60 seconds in time. I mean, he kicked me. You know, I walked there. I noticed that I'm bleeding like profusely. You know, coach walks up. The crazy thing was the last 1 second, neither one of my coaches that were coming into the cage saw it happen.
Oh, my God.
Because they were working their way into the cage. You know, they got to get their shit together, get their bucket together, get the ice together. And so they didn't see it happen. Coach, I sat down, and coach was like, what the hell happened? You broke your nose.
You're like, what?
Yeah, and I was feeling my nose. I was trying to see how crooked it was, you know. And that's the first time I ever broke my nose in a fight. So, yeah, it was, again, 60 seconds in time. There wasn't a lot of processing information. It was just like, oh, shit, that hurt. And, yeah, it is what it is. You know, and then it goes out of your mind, and you just have to go back to the task at hand, which is, you know, fighting the dude in front of you, trying to win.
Did you feel like that changed your cardio at all, not being able to breathe in the way that you normally breathe, or no?
I don't think it did. I mean, I felt really good in there. You know, I felt amazing in there. We worked so hard, you know, through this whole camp to be ready for a cardiovascular, like, war. And, you know, us both fighting, you know, he was much more patient than I thought he was going to be. That allowed me to, you know, not get as exhausted early on, you know, into the fifth round. I remember being like, well, I'm in really good shape. And, you know, every fight is so different. And, yeah, this one was, you know, very different than something, again, I expected and something I've ever experienced. So it's crazy, you know. It's a crazy game that we play.
And look, like I said, you've taken shots from the best fighters on the planet. And Kamaru mentioned, hey, if he doesn't get poked in the eyes, maybe we have something different. Do you feel like there's some credibility to that? Or is that just like, we're playing Monday morning quarterback? Yeah, I got poked in the eyes, but I'm a fighter. Like, let's keep moving.
Yeah. I don't like to, you know, I think it'd be an excuse if I was to just try to justify that.
Right.
You really don't know. Again, it's 25 minutes in time. I mean, it's been hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of minutes since that day, you know, and it seems like it was just yesterday. So it's just crazy. You get in there, you gotta, you know, it's a little bit of rolling the dice, a lot of preparation, and then you just kind of gotta be perfect and, you know, not get caught up in the moment, not be too relaxed. I mean, it's such a crazy game, and you know, the things that your body does when you're in those situations. I mean, you know, to release adrenaline into your body, you know, you gotta obviously perceive a dangerous situation, and you know, that it was that, and then your body goes to these special places. You know, I've done it so many times. I think if I made a mistake, I think the biggest mistake was not realizing or understanding through the camp how much danger I was in. You know, I don't know why. You know, obviously I know why now. I know that was a mistake now, but you know, I think it was more difficult for my body to go to like a primal state because of my lack of awareness of the danger that my body was in. You know, that's not that I didn't give Max respect. I think it was more, if I had to put a finger on it, I think it was more the fact that I never in my life saw Max as an opponent that I would potentially fight.
Right.
You know, he was always in a different weight class. I never was like, this is the guy I want to fight. You know, there's never been another fight in my career where I've been like, you know, I didn't expect to fight this guy, or I have too much respect for this guy, or, you know, it's not that I didn't want to hurt him. I was willing to hurt him, but, you know, the lead up was very different because it wasn't a guy that, you know, even Donald Cerrone was my friend back in the day, but he knocked me out in a practice in like 2010. Hmm. So I was like, I want to get that back. You know, the competitor in me wants to get that back. You know, that fire wasn't there. And I think that was probably the biggest mistake that I made, you know, going into this fight. And it's something that I'm going to learn from. But again, you know, all credit to Max for the way that he fought. I think he fought so perfect.
I think when you have two BMFs in one ring, I think that's what makes the BMF special, right? Obviously, you fought in the fight twice. Obviously, the first one with Dustin and this one now. And it's like, it's such a cool thing to see, because when everybody said, oh, it's a gimmick, oh, it's this and that, it's like, guys, this is fighting. These are two of the biggest dogs on the planet going at it from each fight down, right? Like George and Nate, you and Dustin, you and Max, like this is just dogs only. So it's like, it's such a cool thing to see. Were you surprised when at the end of the fight, when Max was like, all right, come on, let's go middle of the octagon, me and you right now, last 10 seconds. How surprised were you? Do you think like, oh, wait a second, what is he doing? Do I have a shot here?
No, I mean, when that happens, you know, in my mind, just first thing that goes off is of course, you know, and I tried the little flip kick, and then, you know, he points, I jogged to that center. you know, that luckily we said it many times before, this was going to be the People's Main Event. You know, I said it was going to be the best live show on earth. And it was just that, because it's two guys that, you know, are just absolute competitors. You know, I'm a competitor, he's a competitor, and we've been doing this for so long. And, you know, I just think there's no other option. I mean, if someone points to the ground like that, you know, there's no way that I'm not going to accept that challenge.
Absolutely. And it could have easily been him. That's the funny thing. Yeah. If you land something clean, he's out. The entire fight is different. The entire night is different. Everything is different about that.
Yeah. Like I said, I felt like I was losing, you know, but you just never know. I think I won the fourth round, and I think the second round was, you know, was close. Mm-hmm. You know, I landed some very, very heavy leg kicks. So you never know. I think he was probably up 3-1 on the judges' scorecards. It could have been 2-2, you know, on a conservative judges' scorecard. And so we were both kind of fighting for everything. You know, I don't think, you know, in that moment, you never think what the scorecards are, you know, especially when he points to the ground like that. It's okay. That's the only way either one of us want to win. We want to figure this out. You don't want to let it go to the judges just in case. You know, we've seen some crazy things, whether I was winning, losing, you know, had no chance, you know, it was 2-2 with that round being a deciding factor. You don't know, you know, you don't take the time to think about that, because that shit does not matter, you know, until that fight is over. And then it's like, okay, let's hope that this is correct. But we both want to finish the same way. And that's by making a statement and leaving it completely out of anybody's hands, but our own.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what the BMF is about. Who's the baddest motherfucker? We're gonna figure out the last 10 seconds who the baddest motherfuckers. We're going to point to the middle of the ring, and we're going to throw haymakers and cinder blocks until somebody goes down. So it was
we both told you guys what you were going to get. I think it was the best fight of the night, obviously. And yeah, it's bound to happen when you put two guys like that in a cage.
How do you protect your mental health when it comes to something like that, where obviously you haven't seen the fight, but I'm sure social is just absolutely crazy. Are you in a space mentally where you look at that and be like, oh, like that shit, I have to turn it off for a little bit? Or are you one of those guys that can kind of look at everything and be like, hey, it is what it is. That's part of the sport. Shit happens. Like, let's keep it moving.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've said it to, you know, my family thought my family was terrified. All the girls were crying, you know. I was at the hospital, you know, getting checked out, you know, and I was good, you know. Again, being a competitor that I am, I'm not excited and I'm not happy that I lost, you know. But, you know, I have to, I have to be content with what happened because I'm not going to let it eat me up. I'm not going to let me be negative to people around me, you know, and because what we did was, you know,
awesome. Legendary.
Yeah, legendary. And I think, you know, again, I'm here to create a legacy. I think that, you know, even though I lost, I think that does good for my legacy and for the future of my legacy. But I've also am able to put it into perspective that I've, you know, TKO'd or KO'd 19 people. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, this is the territory that I live in. You know, I wish that I wouldn't have eaten that shot, but I do think that me going to sleep like that with 1 second left adds to the legendary status of that fight and to my aura that I bring into the, you know, to inspire people. That's why I do this, obviously. And, you know, if you guys notice, I never, ever once doubted myself or gave up. And that's the name of the game. That's what I try to preach. And I try to show that through my actions. And, you know, I think that I try to take the positive things. You know, I have a lot of people, you know, my mom, my girlfriend, you know, my sisters, they're all trying to check in on me every day. And I'm like, guys, I'm good. Like, it is what it is. I've been doing this my entire life. Right. You know, I've lost big wrestling matches. I've lost fights before. It doesn't feel good. But, you know, as long as I'm content with the preparation in the lead up to the fight, then I have to be okay with the outcome. You know, I think I was prepared. I think that Max was better that night. And I think I play a crazy game where chance and luck are small factors. And, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbled that night.
You talk about legacy. In one word, what do you think your legacy will be?
What do I think my legacy will be? You know, I can't even say because I don't know what people see. You know, I just hope that inspiring is what I hope that my legacy will be, because you don't understand, I came from the middle of nowhere. You know, we all come from somewhere. These, you know, then this is such a worldwide sport, so to be able to touch people and, you know, inspire people from across the world is the craziest thing to me, being from where I'm from. And that's my favorite part about this whole thing. You know, I look mean. You know, I'm a nice person. I don't think you can find. I've interacted with a million. You know, with what I do now, with through wrestling, through different sports, through fighting. I've interacted with millions of people, and you're not going to find, you know, a handful that say that I'm not a nice person. You know, I try to treat people the correct way, the way I want to be treated. You know, and I think that, you know, you know, you guys think that I might be mean. You know, I love to help people. And so the fact that I am inspiring people from across the world, from different languages, you know, through my actions is the most special part for me. And something I never thought I would be able to do. You know, I thought maybe I would be able to be effective in my, you know, in my community. But, you know, my community is so big now, you know, with the age of the internet and, you know, with the stage that I'm fighting on. So that's my favorite part. That's why, you know, I can come back and step in there next time with no fear, because, you know, that's what I'm trying to do, is inspire people. So we all face, you know, life is not easy. We all face these different things. Mine's a fight. Mine's physical. A lot of people's is metaphorical. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to believe in yourself and you have to trust in the process, you know, and treating people the correct way, treating people the way you want to be treated, allows me to find comfort there, you know. And then so I have no reason to be negative or you know, think about any of that bullcrap.
From the copper mines to the BMF title, man, like you've had,
yeah, it's such crazy,
a
ride.
Cool, you've had such a cool rise, and you're not done yet. Any idea, I know this is super premature, super early, any idea when the next time you could mentally be ready to get back into a training camp, into a fight?
Again, we're talking about metaphorical and physical. Like, metaphorically, I could be ready tomorrow, but, you know, physically, I think, again, I want to take care of myself. You know, I do think that repeated concussions, you know, with me going to sleep like that, me receiving that shot, it would be foolish for me to jump back into training, you know, anytime before 180 days.
Yeah.
I can do cardio. I can stay in shape. That's what I want to try to do, especially the older I get, the harder it is to get back to the best shape of my life. So I want to stay active, you know, but obviously that physical contact is going to be limited for quite some time just because I want to preserve myself. I've been doing this for a long time. So, yeah, I don't have an answer for that question. I think 6 months at least is before I, you know, get back to taking shots, you know, but that doesn't say that I won't be training, you know, the whole time. So we'll see. We'll see. It's a crazy game. We'll see how the Dustin and Makhachev fight goes.
Yeah.
Crazy game.
Dude, thank you so much. Before we get out of here, talk to me, and we'll probably see a lot of your cardio, a lot of your workout stuff on your OFTV Rising Grind stuff. Can you talk to us a little bit about it? Get us excited about what you got behind the scenes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we just got through a fight, so obviously a lot of the training, you know, is going to be a lot different now, you know. A lot more golf.
A lot more video games. A lot more golf.
A lot more video games and golf. So, but yeah, I mean, OnlyFans TV, again, you know, we're going to get back to making, you know, content with my coach. You know, we used to make these curriculum, you know, videos. I think we have our whole shop set up as a studio now, so we're able to film these technique videos and then really just try and spread, you know, knowledge on, you know, my coach possesses so much knowledge, you know, my ability to put it into action and to make it look, you know, we all learn different ways, you know, visual, you know, reading. I don't know. I'm a visual learner, you know, I have to see it. And so I want to put it on video, show people how to, you know, get a good workout. You know, I think fighting and training for a fight, even though you're not fighting, is such a good, you know, cardiovascular workout. You know, put you in such a positive mental state, you know, gives you confidence, which is huge. You know, one of the biggest factors in life, having the confidence to attack these situations. And so, yeah, I want to put, you know, stuff like that on there. And then, you know, just different ways to communicate with fans. You know, I've got so much love after this fight, you know, win or lose. It's crazy how much love I've gotten after this fight. And so, yeah, the OnlyFans is just another way for me to interact with my fans, you know, bring them some content on things. You know, some people do want to learn how to fight, so I can, you know, give them that. But then just interacting with my fans, you know, it's huge. And OnlyFans is a great outlet for that.
Check out Justin Gaethje's OnlyFans Rising Grind episode with the highlight himself, teaching you everything. Hopefully get some good golf stuff in there too. I'm going to be watching for some good golf content. Justin, you're a legend, dude. You're a dog. You're a warrior. We appreciate you as media, as fans, as people, just in general, from, again, Copper Mines to the top of the world in what it is that you do. Is just an incredible story, man. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you so much for hanging out, man.
All right. Yes, sir, man. Thank you for your time.